On the line joining us is Loretta Perry. She's a health educator here on campus. And there's a Tri-Campus and Community Coalition that is very concerned about binge drinking on college campuses. Loretta, again, is on the line with us. Hi, Loretta. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, I asked you a moment ago because I was curious. It seemed 30 years ago plus when I was in college that the binge drinking thing was perhaps something that you did as a freshman, kind of got it out of your system, you'd hope for the most part. And I don't know of anyone who died or even who was really in danger. And so I asked you, I said, did we just dodge a bullet or what was that about?
I think a couple of things are different from back in the day. One of those things is that a lot of us drank beer compared to students now who are drinking more hard liquor. The other thing is that the drinking age was different, and so many of us were in bars at 18, 19 years old, whereas now, with the legal drinking age being 21, students are at parties where there isn't anybody monitoring them, there isn't anyone cutting off service to them, and so they're in charge of each other, and oftentimes they don't have information about, you know, what's a safe level and what's not.
So what is it that you're concerned about, and how do you go about talking to college students who binge drink to begin with about drinking sensibly?
Right. Our whole emphasis, and I speak for all three of the colleges in town, is that it's a harm reduction approach. We are not going from an abstinence-based model. We're going from how do we keep our students as safe and as healthy as possible. And so one of our primary concerns and themes for our work the last, I'd say, 5-7 years has been working on alcohol poisoning, making sure that students are aware of what those signs and symptoms look like so that they would be able to identify a friend who was in trouble, giving them enough information about how alcohol is metabolized in the body and about serving sizes so that hopefully they would avoid those situations to begin with. Some of the ways we've done that, we've created magnets and wallet cards. The magnets, pretty strategic. Scholastica and UMD each place those magnets on the refrigerators in each of the dorms and apartments on campus. And when I would debrief with students who had been in a situation where there was a medical emergency, time and again, I'd say, well, how did you know what to do, and how did you know what the symptoms were? And they'd say, you know, we kept going back to the fridge and checking the magnet. So we know that that worked. So we had wallet cards made so we could distribute those. We had posters made that had the QR code so students could take their smartphones and upload information right into their phone. So trying to meet students where they're at.
Wow. That, I mean, talk about ingenious. I mean, the magnet is old school, but the QR code, talk about, you know, using the technology to help folks out. Have you found that it's made a difference at all? There's been this increasing push to teach women in particular, don't leave a drink anywhere because somebody could doctor it, somebody could mess with it. Be careful about your level of alcohol consumption or have a friend with you. Be smart because of the possibility that somebody could take advantage of you while you were impaired. Has that made a difference at all in the binge drinking with women on campus?
No, and those are kind of separate issues that you bring up. The one about predatory drugs, we're educating our male students as well because we're seeing men targeted as well by these medications with different intents. In our community, oftentimes when a woman is targeted, it is with the intent of a sexual assault, and that happens with men too, absolutely. But more often than not, what I'm hearing from our male students is that they've got something somebody else wants, you know, drugs, jewelry, money, or it's a payback. And so those are kind of separate things. We are teaching all of our students and really encouraging them to use the buddy system. I think each of the campuses now are implementing a bystander intervention model. At UMD, we call it Got Your Back, where we're saying to students, our expectation is, as a member of this community, that if you see something that's not right, that you're going to step in and take care of a situation, that you guys are going to be responsible for each other. The binge drinking, that's something that's been going on in colleges, you know, for a long, long time. And so we have to, when we're educating students, we have to be mindful of both of those things.
It has been going on for a long time, but I don't remember anybody ever talking to us again back in the day about, hey, here's another reason not to do this. In addition to alcohol poisoning,
right.
Something could happen to you if you do. And I guess as if I were, you know, turning the clock back, if I were a college freshman now, I definitely would think twice about my level of consumption, knowing that it wasn't just going to be a really bad headache the next day.
Right. I think that the level of awareness of students on multiple levels, you know, whether it's predatory drugs, alcohol overdose, sexual assault on college campuses, all these things have been brought to the front. There's an awareness of those things now that I don't think there was 30 years ago. And so I think our intervention, our prevention efforts, I think they're better than they were.
Definitely.
Those things happened. They just weren't reported.
Exactly. They weren't reported, or they happened and nobody heard about them. And so the word didn't really get out. So, yeah, when you know better, you do better.
Yeah. Well said.
Loretta, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It was great to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.